Another week went by with no sign of Buster. The children continued their daily ritual of searching Buster's favourite haunts as we made our way home from school. No clues had been unearthed as to the exact method of his disappearance, and the posters we had put up had returned no possible sightings from the local neighbourhood. It was Friday night, and as per our regular Friday routine, Eileen, Charlotte and William were sitting in the lounge watching a rented video from Blockbusters. Fish and chips still in the wrapper, balanced on their laps, as they watched the trailers before the film started. I split the remaining bag of greasy chips onto two plates and began to walk up the stairs and let Catherine know the kids were waiting for us to start the film. Just as I set foot on the first step, the house phone started to ring, its tuneless trilling filling the house. I sighed and picked up the receiver from the small table that sat next to the bottom of the stairs. A gruff voice on the other end of the line announced themselves as
David from the farm on top of Haingum.
The gruff voice went on to explain that he'd seen our posters and had spotted a dog that matched Buster's description, sniffing around his farmyard not 10 minutes ago. Buster, if indeed it was Buster, had apparently been playing merry hell with his chickens for the last few nights. "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that," I said.
"That's 5 disappeared now over the last week,"
he responded, his tone accusing and irritated. "I'm more than happy to pay for any losses, of course. I'll be along straight away to collect him. If it is Buster, of course." And with that, we exchanged cordial goodbyes and hung up.
While a traitor had been thus betraying us into the hands of our enemies in Swansea, Jenkin Thomas, Jim Jenkins and I had been faithfully serving Rebecca at Calais. True to the instructions Bynan had given us, we said not a word about what was to be done that night until late in the afternoon, when we went in search of all the men who had been ready to attack the Kilvera Pike and asked them to come with us now to Ponte de Leis. All were eager to come, and not one of our party of the Saturday before was missing when we met together to start, except Bill Jones, who had unluckily been sent into Swansea on an errand for his master that day and had not yet returned, and who, of course, had heard nothing of the intended riot, as he, like the rest, had been left to be told at the last moment. I was very much put out at his not being back in time, as I knew he would be vexed at not being with us, and also I particularly wanted him to come, because one always likes to have anyone one is fond of engaged in the same work as oneself. I waited for him as long as I could, but it was no use. He did not appear. It was time to be off. Everyone else was ready and eager to start, and so at last we set out without him.